direction, and it's another disaster, another disaster, another disaster, another disaster.
Kitchen finds Rydell. In it comes, it's a decent one, quickly! 3-2! More Stockport pressure. Sending it forward. Now up towards Quickly. Quickly in on goal. Past the keeper. And into the net. He's done it again. Scott Quickly at the double for Stockport County, who have turned this FA Cup tie on its head. Up towards Alex Reid. Tussling with Williamson. Quickly sends it forward. Ollie Crenshaw to seal the deal.
We've had some low points during my time. I would say that's the worst we've played during my spell at the club. These things hurt. The night, the occasion, the fact that it's on national TV. We've let everybody down.
Hello. And welcome to the Buff Podcast, sponsored by Cars Pasties. My name's Mark Isles, and I'm the chief football writer of the Bolton News. Yep, this podcast is being recorded the morning after Bolton were dumped out the FA Cup by non-league Stockport County, so forgive the lo-fi intro. I'm also recording this from my sickbed. Isles, brackets COVID, is a major doubt for the next two games, with Dan Barnes set to deputise. But thankfully, we do have one fit member of the squad, and I use that word in the loosest possible sense. It's my podcast co-host, Henry Hewitt. Henry, how are you doing?
Well, I thought, start of this week, I thought, oh, the Buff will be nice this week. We can cover the crew game, and we can cover the amazing weekend that everyone had with the Legends game, and it should be good. We should be positive. And then I went, had a night in Stockport on Wednesday, and suddenly, it's all doom and gloom now.
That, I mean, it couldn't have got much worse. People are saying it's the worst result, certainly the worst cup result. I don't think there's any doubt that that is the worst cup result. I mean, I remember them getting beaten by Crawley in the League Cup. I mean, there's been a couple of lower league exits in the League Cup, but nothing, obviously, not non-league. But that's the first non-league team to beat Bolton since 1911. And it was different then, obviously.
It was
a very different game then, as Jack Dearden will tell you. But, it's unprecedented, but thoroughly deserved. And I think, let's just forget all the anger. Hats off to County, if you'll forgive the pun, but they were very good on the night. They did what they needed to do.
Yeah, they were. And yeah, you look at that squad of Stockports. I mean, not a national league team. They are probably a League Two team. And despite it being non-league, you can probably pick out four or five squads in that league. And if you put them against, I don't know, the bottom five in League Two, you're probably saying that they've got better teams and they should be in that league. Credit to Stockport. They wanted it more. The fans were up for it. They're very similar to us. They're on an upward curve. And, yeah, fair play to them. They deserve the win. It's just hugely disappointing from a Bolton point of view. We just weren't good enough. And I think, I don't know whether it's met everyone's angrier that we went 2-0 up and then 3-1 up and have ended up losing more than say we just lost 1-0. But it was just poor. That's what you can say. Even the morning after, you just say it was really poor.
I mean, you say an upward curve. Let's be absolutely honest. Promotion last season, obviously that is an upward curve. That is fine. This season, it just seems like every time you're feeling comfortable, or you think there's something good, a real sledgehammer comes along and whacks you on the toes. Defensively, they were all at sea. I stuck up for Santos. I believe Santos had a decent game. I thought he headed pretty much everything away, and he was the only player who was trying to attack the ball. That was where Stockport were getting the joy. They were lumping the ball in, putting pressure on the penalty box, and to me, in my the way that I watched the game, Santos was the only guy that was there was really attacking the ball, really being in any way demonstrative that you would expect from a captain and from a defender. The rest of the back line were absolute drivel on the night. And defensively, you know, Bolton have been poor, and that includes Santos over the last several weeks. I think you could probably say almost all season. You said it in the podcast before now, Henry, that, you know, you're vaguely concerned. But a performance like that, surely that's alarm bells.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I don't know what's happening. I don't know. It doesn't seem... The defensive issues don't seem to be addressed, and obviously we're not privy to what goes on in the dressing room. We're not privy to what goes on the training ground, apart from the approved videos that go out from the club. But it just same old mistakes, like the crosses into the box. I don't know, you know. As I said before, these are non-league players, but they are good players. So Scott Quigley. And if anyone knows about Scott Quigley, it's Ian Ever, and how he's getting space in the middle, you know, right on the 6-yard box for that his first goal, Stockport second, is I don't know how he's know what, you know, how are you getting a free man there from across? And then obviously the corner I felt was unlucky with Santos, because it was literally if he had an even Ivan Campo wig on, he probably would have headed it away. Yeah, but but then, you know, you've got, I think it was maybe Johnston or whoever who was marking him, and their defender, and he's clearly taller than him. And then the other goals were just on the break. But it was the thing for me last night is I went to the ground and I knew we'd lose. I just had a feeling we'd lose. I was pleasantly surprised that when we went 2-0 up, and it's because, as you said there with Bolton, we're used to the setbacks. We're used to just, you know, I thought we're on telly, it's a non-league team. We're going to get beat because we don't do things easy. That's why we were all shocked when we played Crawley last year and beat them on the last game, because we just thought we're used to the setbacks and we're used to being embarrassed in a way, and you just knew it was going to happen. And that's the sad thing, is that no matter what happens with Bolton, if we're on an upward curve or whatever, you just feel that at some point around the corner there is a sledgehammer coming, and last night was one.
And not to beat the defensive drum too heavily, but I mean, you had Ashley Southam Hales, who, you know, is by all accounts a reasonable player, in there pretty much for his long throw, I thought, on the night. He got made look like David Beckham. And Declan John, who I've been quite critical of this season, because I don't think he's been anything close to what he had last season in terms of consistency and form. He'd taken a couple of good steps, I thought, in the last couple of weeks, and looked like he was getting his match fitness again. But he was playing at a 50% pace on Wednesday night. Johnston came into the team. He's lost his place. He's got a point to prove, you know. And he was absolutely dreadful. I mean, I'm really so disappointed with the defensive aspect. I mean, Isgrove's got a semi-excuse. He's a winger playing at fullback. We know that is a difficult thing for him to do. We know he's not a towering presence at the back. He's not going to head everything away. And the penalty was, it was what it was. But, you know, the other ones, they've not really got an excuse. And in midfield, oh, God, I mean... MJ Williams, I think Everett said it after the game, we've all wondered what the team would be like without MJ Williams. Well, the answer is Bobbins, isn't it?
To be fair to Isgrove, I thought going forward, especially in the second half, he showed that he wanted to get forward. It's just his last pass wasn't there, or there was no one open. But yeah, defensively, he's not a defender. And I think... MJ Williams isn't it so funny how we've got these star players? Like, you look at Afolayan, you look at Sheehan, you look at Lee, you know, these Doyle, these players that are well known, who are, if you was to pick a Bolton Wanderers top five, you'd probably stick them in. Yet MJ Williams is quite clearly at the moment our most important player, someone who couldn't get in the Blackpool team last year. So I don't know. Is this something now? I presume that they were always planning on recruitment in January. They quite clearly, with the contracts they've handed out and the Sarcevic situation, that they're looking at next season and what they're going to do. Do you think like a night like last night could just change some of the plans and think, no, we're in more trouble than what we thought?
Well, if it doesn't, I mean, I'm sure they're not going to be as reactionary as, hey, we're out of the cup, now we're going to sign six players. But I think Ian Everett is not daft and Chris Markham's not daft. They will have seen the obvious deficiencies they've got in there. There is an imbalance in midfield. There isn't enough defensive cover in midfield. There's nobody who could have stepped in there and done the same job as MJ Williams can do. Even, I would argue, a fully fit Andy Tutt is not necessarily a replacement. There's a big challenge on here. I mean, this is a bit of a side story, but it's kind of like, what do the owners do here in terms of building the squad? There has been a long-term vision. They're looking at, you know, building over the next few windows and shopping smarter. They are not going to spend a lot of money by the looks of things. It's going to be done as sustainably as humanly possible. That is the whole point of Football Ventures' business plan. They brought in the losses to, you know, a few million pounds or so now. Does that change when things start slipping backwards? Do they all of a sudden have to find some money to give Everett the players he needs to make this work? Or do you turn around and say, well, actually, you know, we need a more pragmatic, short-term kind of football or kind of, you know, outlook on it? Do they bring in a few more experienced players straight away in January? It's a hard one to balance.
It is, yeah. And I mean, you could say last night that we needed more experience. And I've just watched what Ian Everett had to say to the club after the game. And he said that there's no leaders really in the team. Well, obviously, you look at Doyle and Williams of the leaders that were not there who probably would have played. I think the lack of leaders is clearly evident. The fact that I know I've just said that Stockport are a non-league team in name. They've got some good players in the team. But we've conceded 7 goals in 2 games against the non-league team. Like, if we had enough leaders, if we had more experience in the team, that wouldn't happen. I don't think it would happen, because there'd be someone there like grabbing the net, like the game by the scruff of the neck. And that may be somewhere where they need to look. But I think you could argue at the moment that apart from MJ Williams, and you do need cover for him, you could argue that every place is up for grabs, because, you know, I think I'm never going to dig out Dapo off the line because he's a great player, but I just felt last night, well, you're on telly, it's a great opportunity to put yourself in the shop window. And I thought for large parts he was, wasn't there.
No, I agree with that. Do you know what, he got that elbow early on and I thought that put him right off his stride. After that, it just didn't seem to want to know, really. And he got another ball in the face, I think, later on that half. And I was a little bit disappointed with him. I mean, there's absolutely nobody that comes out of it, you know, absolutely. Whilst I will stick up for Rico, even he made mistakes in the game. So I think waking up this morning and looking at the eight I gave him in the match ratings, I'm going to downgrade that a la podcast to about 6.5 and appease the people. Because you know, you're asked to make these judgments on the final whistle. But even still, nobody will come off that pitch and be happy at all. And it has to get better straight away. And the worst thing is, they'd come off such a great weekend. Mm. And we've all been talking about how great things were. And the crew win was what it was. It wasn't a particularly swaggering win, but it was a professional win. So they got back on the winning streak, got on the winning board, rather, in League One again. Got up to about 11th for City now, aren't they? Which is all right by me. I'm fairly happy with that. Then the Legends game, everything that was good about Bolton Wanderers in one weekend, you know, fans were eulogising about players past and present. Everything looked wonderful in the garden again. It's just such a club of extremes. It's so hard at times.
Yeah, well, we win and we're the best team ever when we're getting promoted, and we lose and we're the worst. And I think when you look at the fact that Bolton Wanderers in history have had the most relegations and the most promotions, I think fans naturally go, if you win, everyone gets excited because they just think, oh, well, we're going up. It's what we're used to. But then when we lose, you think, well, we're going down. It's what we're used to. So I guess you just got to deal with it. But, yeah, it was a really bad end to a good week. And, you know, now we'll talk about it later, but it has put a bit of pressure on this Wigan game now.
Yeah, definitely. I often wonder, you know, you see those wildlife documentaries about the little lizards in the middle of the Sahara that that have to hibernate because it goes really cold at one stage and it's absolutely blazing hot the next minute.
Yeah.
Just like being a Bolton supporter or a Bolton journalist. It's you're either blazing hot or freezing cold. There's no in between. It's impossible. This is not making my fever and temperature any better, Henry. So let's move on to some correspondence.
Is that Philip Moraes? Emails, actually.
Yes, live from the sick bed. I've dug out some of your emails to make me feel better. And we're getting plenty in about where we've seen Bolton Wanderers shirts far and wide in the world. So I'll read out another couple. Keep them coming in, though. I'll give out the email address again in a minute. Hi, Mark and Henry. Moved to Napier, New Zealand, East Coast, and there's nowhere further away 15 years ago. I miss BWSC and all the stuff that goes with it. I'm an Ian Greaves generation, so Reid, Morgan, Gowland and Jones were my heroes. 3-3 against Newcastle was my FA Cup memory, along with fans peeing on my leg because the lever end was so packed nobody could get to the loo. I'm glad those days are gone. I couldn't be doing with anybody peeing up my leg. I've got to be completely honest with you.
I'm not going to argue.
Anyway, driving through Napier on a day off to the beach when I saw a St. George's flag with BWFC Farnworth in a patio window. Funny, over the years, down under, loads of fans over here. They have a very active supporters club in Australia and New Zealand. Big shout out to the Yarwards in Melbourne and Australia and Hawke's Bay, New Zealand. Love the pod. Listen every week. Love, Danny Shittu. Not love Danny Shittu, he just loves Danny Shittu. We make that joke every week, but it doesn't get any worse. Cheers, Chris Yarwood. Yes, thank you very much. The Yarwoods do keep in contact with us, and it's lovely to have them listening from the opposite side of the world. Farnworth, they do get everywhere, don't they, Farnworth?
You do, yeah. You never, what is it they say? There's some areas of the world where you never like more than 2 metres or 3 metres away from a rat. It's actually 2 or 3 metres away from someone from Farnworth.
That's exactly right, exactly right. And in no way am I comparing the two. I'd just like to say that before any more emails come in. I'm not messing about with the Farnworth matters. I've been out in Farnworth on a Friday night and I don't need that at all.
No.
Hi, Mark and Henry. Not shirt spotting, I'm afraid, but went to Xanthi in Greece with my missus and carved onto the tile on the balcony were the words BWFC, Franson is God. I often wonder if it was the Great Dane who did it himself. Love the podcast, Steve Richardson, who's now living and wearing a Bolton shirt in Tenerife. So it's like a 2-in-1, really. Has Per Franson got a God complex?
No, I think... that must have been up there for at least 20, maybe 25 years. That's...
Yeah, I think it's probably not so much TripAdvisor's top rated Xanthi Hotel, probably, if the tiles haven't been changed since Pear was in his prime. Maybe one of those Airbnb jobs, potentially. But thank you very much, Steve. Appreciated that one. And then one, just to change tack slightly, we're talking about the fan zone and the plans for the fan zone, this kind of like marquee-esque type thing that's going to be built near Bolton Central. Well, that's going to be a really difficult place to be, isn't it, if you get any more results like that? I mean, can you imagine what the mood would have been like at the fan zone last night?
Oh, yeah, Jay. Well, I do wish we had a fan zone last night because, I mean, that Edgeley Park is... I know I watched a bit back on the telly last night for some reason. I don't know why. I wanted a nightmare before I went to bed. But they were saying how great Edgeley Park was, but it's a cramped ground. Even getting in through the turnstile, I'm glad. I know it's been a tough lockdown for most of us, but I'm glad. I'm glad I've not eaten more than what I did because I wouldn't have got in. Turnstiles were very were very thin and
a little bit tight. Could...
yes, exactly.
Well, Garth it conjured a memory. I don't know what his second name is, Garth, but his name is Garth. Hi, Mark. Seeing the plans for the fans home made me think of the first supporters club built on the car park at Burndon, adjoining the stadium. We know all about that car park, by the way, Garth. It's haunted. Me and my mate went on the opening night in 1967. All the players were there in the and a cabaret, and there was a girl singer. She asked the chairman if there was a Bob or Bobby in the team. The chairman said no, even though Bob Hatton was stood there and we'd recently signed him. So she sat on John Hume's knee and started singing Johnny's Girl. Happy days. I wonder if anybody else remembers that night. See, they're simpler times.
Yes, they are, yeah.
They're simply happier times. The night's entertainment would be nipping down to the supporters club and seeing a cabaret act. I mean, that to me, it's a bit Phoenix Nights, but it'd be great to get back to that sort of days.
Yeah, it would after a cold winter's night watching us beat Crewe 2-0. There's nothing better than a cabaret show in the Premier Suite.
Right, okay. Talking about Bolton institutions. How about a bit of Cars Pasties? I don't know about you, Henry, but I can't think of any better way of cheering myself up after Wednesday night than a nice Cars Pasties, maybe some mushy peas as well on the side. That would be good. The good news is that you don't even have to be in Bolton to enjoy Cars Pasties anymore. They now do nationwide delivery. Pasties delivered to your door anywhere in the country. And if you order at carspasties.co.uk, you can also get 10% off with the code BUFF10. The offer runs out in 1 week, Thursday, November the 25th, so stack them up in your freezer, get them in for Christmas. This might be a long, old winter. Remember, Buff, BUFF, 1010 for 10% off your Cars Pasties to your door. Right. Well, I was going to say, give me some headlines, Henry, but there's been very little that's happened that hasn't involved Legends game or the absolute detritus that was Wednesday night, but I'm sure you can pick out something for us to talk about.
News. Yeah, there's a few here, so we'll go through them, and then I think let's try and cheer ourselves up and let's, because I wasn't at the Legends game. I've got to say, I was huge. I was so jealous when I was looking at all the videos coming in. So I'll ask you a few headlines, and then I guess that let's talk about fair play. Right, the two headlines really are from last night, and they're injuries. So Sheehan and Bakayoko came off. What do we know about Sheehan and Bakayoko?
Sheehan has an unstable knee, I think is the best way to look at it. I saw the TV pictures of him getting tested out by Matt Barris, the physio, obviously in discomfort. He played on for a little bit, but couldn't play on. Got taken off just before half time, didn't he? And Will Ameson came on. A bit worrying, really, to me. I've done my knee in the similar sort of way, where you do damage to your ligaments and you kind of play on for a little bit, and then it just feels like you can't really put any pressure. Your knee buckles a little bit, and all of a sudden there's something major. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Josh. He didn't have the best of games last night, didn't have the best of starts, but nevertheless, you know, he's been decent for Bolton. And it doesn't look great as we sit here now. Ian Everett will be doing a press conference at Thursday, 2 p.m. So hopefully he'll bring us some better news on it. But as we sit here now, I'm not expecting it, if I'm honest. Bakayoko, sorry. I'll carry on. I've completely forgot about Bakayoko. I'm told that was just cramp. So he did look in a bit of discomfort when he went off. It was about midway through the second half, wasn't it? Maybe a bit later.
Yeah.
I did fear that it was his calf again when he sat down and he kind of needed attention before he went off, hobbled kind of straight down the tunnel. But I'm told it was a bit of cramp. He's obviously had to do a lot of running. He did a lot of running early on, actually. I thought he looked quite pacey, didn't he? He got beyond their centre-half, Palmer, quite a bit, and he caused a few problems, but ran out of steam significantly. And it does make you, with Doyle being out, it does make you appreciate how much running he does get through and doesn't necessarily show it in the same way as the big man does. So he can't do the same job. He's not the same player. And it harks back to what we were going on at the start of the season. You needed a player like Owen Doyle who can throw in and do that running for you. And Bakayoko has to be a different type of option. It can't be one or the other. I don't see the two things matching up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So let's talk about the weekend then. As I said, I wasn't there. I was really jealous looking at all the videos. And it looked an amazing day where I think the former players and Big Sam as well, I don't think we doubt how much they loved at the club. But it was just nice to see that those people that gave us Bolton fans probably some of the best times we're ever going to see watching Bolton. It's just nice for them to see how much they are appreciated at the club by the fans.
It always amazes me, really, that era where, let's be honest, they were the highest paid Bolton players there's ever been.
Yeah.
And you could take the view that these players who earned, you know, fortunes from the club, Eddie Davies put his hand in his pocket to fund a fair whack of that. It's not all just Premier League money. You could take that view and say, well, yeah, of course you'd love a club that has paid you so handsomely and say the right things. But actually, that's been and gone now. That's, you know, 10, 15 plus years beyond. There is no reason for a JJ Okocha to turn up at Bolton for anything other than the love for the club now. There's no reason for Kevin Davies to run around like a blue-ass fly and gather players round other than actual fondness for the club and the town. I spoke to Kev early on in the piece in all this, and I just said, listen, I do admire you, you know, pitching for the stars, really, you know, for going for the best possible players here. I said, but are you sure you don't, you know, want to set it a bit lower and make sure that you can kind of achieve what you set out to do? And he's like, no, we're gonna go for it. We're gonna go for it. We're gonna try and get JJ. We're gonna get Ivan, etc. And they did, and they managed it in the end. And you know, fair play. I've got to take my cap off to everybody that made that happen, including the night itself, of course. Gethin's family thoroughly enjoyed the weekend. The black tie dinner in the hotel was fantastic on the Saturday night. Sunday couldn't have gone any better for them, really, could it? And it was wonderful. I mean, we know it was for a fantastic cause. Lots of good money has been raised, both for Geth Mum's treatment and for the Derby River Foundation as well, which will go towards, you know, campaigning for more research into MND, etc., etc. It really couldn't have gone any better. And I also have to take my cap off to Sam Allardyce as well, who gave up his time to come in and really stoke it up, because I think the club were getting a lot of flack about how little they'd publicised it going back at the start of last week, maybe. But I thought that interview that he gave on the Thursday really was timed perfectly, and it hit exactly the right note. And Big Sam, the fact that he was there in the dugout, I mean, I think that was the loudest applause I got of the day. I didn't get any applause. No, the loudest applause I heard during the day was when Sam took his place in the dugout, and that says a lot, really. It was so refreshing to listen to the players afterwards and see what different things meant to them. I mean, for example, Bibby Gardner.
Yeah,
he basically grew up at Bolton. He was a kid. He had absolutely very little life experience when he stepped out of Jamaica, where he was playing at Harbourview, came over to Bolton. He grew up in Bolton. So to come back is absolutely fantastic for him. Somebody like Yussi, again, a kid when he turned up, barely knew anything. And he cherishes the town so much. You know, people like Kev Davies has obviously been around and had a footballing career beforehand, but he got it in Bolton. You know, he struck that chord. And it's funny how every single one of them have just kind of just fit into the jigsaw of the town so well.
Yeah, and it's just looking at all reading the interviews and watching the interviews afterwards. You mentioned Gardner there. I mean, Gardner's, he's one of my, and Yussi actually, two of my favourite ever Bolton players. And just to see them at the club again, and you know, as you said, to to be smiling when they're talking about the team and the club and the fans, that you do genuinely feel that they love the club. And hopefully something like this will become a bridge for them. You know, we don't want suddenly old players being part of, you know, the backroom staff full of old players and stuff like that. You want the best for each job. But if these guys can be a bridge to just being a part of the club a bit more and seeing the faces a bit more, then that'll be great. And it's and I think, you know, we've had the likes of John McGinley and David Lee, you know, knocking about for years, and hopefully we can have them, but also these lads from 20 years ago now as well.
It's a lost generation, isn't it? I mean, we all know what happened at the time. We all know that there was, you know, bad feeling, I think, on the way out for a couple of them. But it's been and gone now. And I think Kev Davis said it afterwards. He said it's water under the bridge now. It's not even an issue to him anymore. You know, I think people do have long memories and they do kind of bring it up. And like, why wasn't Kevin Davis given a testimonial, all that sort of stuff? I don't think the people involved are bothered anymore. They just want to help out. And I'd look at clubs like Liverpool, like Everton, United, City, and how well they treat their ex-players. And I don't mean, you know, I don't mean blowing smoke up the backside and you know, having VIP this, VIP that. It's simply a case of inviting them to games, inviting them to come and do a bit of hospitality, inviting them to come and meet the fans and such like. And that has really, they've struggled. I think since Andrew Dean went especially, and that kind of contact point for that generation has disappeared. It's an area where they do need to improve things. And I think I'd like to think this weekend is more about building bridges. It's more about like inviting people back in rather than saying goodbye to players. It's like hello again, because I'd like to think that this isn't the last time we'll see Ricardo Gardner at Bolton for another 10 years. You know, I'd like to see him in a Friday night game against Aki Stanley or something. It'd be great to see him in a game like that. You know, people like Sam Ricketts and Nicky Hunt and Henrik Pedersen and they're, you know, really ingrained in the club. They love the place. They keep in touch with what's going on as well as anybody else. So it'd be great to see them about again and maybe just popping up and doing a couple of chats and such like, and you know, before a game and meeting the fans and things. Stelios, I mean, God, the guy loves the place. You if you could milk his enthusiasm for Bolton Wanderers, you could probably get an extra 10,000 on the gate. He absolutely adores Bolton to the point that he moved back to Exton. Just near the training ground at Exton, just so he might have half a chance of keeping one eye on him. He still owns a house there. It's incredible the affection that most of them do still have for the place, including Sam as well, by the way. So I just hope Bolton can find a way of harnessing that. Like you say, it's not a jobs for old boys type of thing. It's more a case of just finding a way that can work for them and celebrating the fact that there's a generation of supporters who absolutely love these guys.
Yeah, and I'm one of them. And I do. I love that team. I love seeing goals back from them and matches. And, you know, I think everyone, you've got, you know, every fan of every club has a special, you've got a special bond with the players, especially when you was a kid. You've got, you know, and that's why you see people who are like 20, early 20s having a special bond for a side that, let's face it, 10 years ago were rubbish. So, sorry, 5 or 6 years ago were getting relegated from the Championship. So, it would be nice to see more of them, and hopefully this is that bridge to it.
Right, okay, let's move on from the headlines and into a game of Danny Shittu. Danny Shittu. Last week's absolute marathon. It only finished about 5 minutes ago in my head. It was such a battle. I nicked it at the very, very end, but I just opened my stat. Man, there's no way on earth I can afford to. if you play this tactically, Henry, this could be over in a few words, really. Because I'm operating at about 50% possibly today.
Well, as we know, I perform better in the afternoon and evenings, and we're recording this at 10:45 in the morning. So I think we're both at 50%.
I knew I should have started this at 5 a.m. That's what I needed to do. I will serve with a Chris Armstrong.
Chris Armstrong. Right, so that's G. Greg Strong.
That's a double G.
Danny Shitty, so I'm going to go with T.
A T. I'm going to go for Tim Ream.
Tim Ream to N. Michael Ricketts.
That's an S. I'm going to go for Sam Ricketts, which is a Danny Shitty. And I'm going to go for Q.
Quentin Fortune.
Quentin or Quinton?
Quentin.
Do you have a brother called Quentin? right, that's an E. We know the E's. I'm going to go for Emil Heskey.
Why? Yannick Wiltshire.
That's a T. Tom Eaves.
Tom Eaves. S. Sam Allardyce.
That's an E again. I'm going Owen Doyle. That's Danny Shitty. I'm going to go for Q.
You are... I don't know. Is there another Q?
Yes. Only one, as far as I'm aware. There might be more, actually.
In the mind.
I will count you down, Henry, but you ain't getting this one.
No, I'm not. So I'll count myself down. 3, 2, 1.
Bang. Quade Taylor was the one that I was thinking of. There may well be cues. If you know any more cues, please pepper Henry with them mercilessly this week. But I think... I was in one of those moods. It was fight or flight, really. I had to get that one done and ended early, or else if you'd... You know how Bolton sometimes pass teams to death and in like the last 20 minutes they go for the kill and score a couple of goals? Not obviously against Stockport, but in better times they have done that. That's what you could have done to me there. If we just backwards and forwards to E and N, I would have run out of energy very quickly.
Yeah, okay, well, you've done a long ball upfield, like their fourth goal, and you've dinked it over me into the goal. So, yeah, okay, fair play. You win this one with your cues.
That was Route 1, Danny Shitty. And if you do fancy taking us on at Danny Shitty, and I did promise I'd read out the email address earlier, by the way. Here it is. So you want to bring something up on the Buff? Email Mark and Henry on thebuffmail@gmail.com. That's THEBUFFMAIL, all one word, @gmail.com. And sorry to the male escort who probably getting some unsolicited Bolton Wanderers correspondence from the people who spell that incorrectly. Right, we're going to have a new game as well. And the rules are not necessarily that simple, but I'm going to try and explain them in the best way I can. Okay, so me and Henry are each going to pick a season from the last 15, 20 years, right? And so hopefully Henry's got one up on his laptop screen now, and I've got one up on my laptop screen. Now, each one of these seasons has got, in the Wikipedia article, has got a squad stats page. By the way, I'm going to call this squad game. How contemporary is that? Right, you'll tell me what your season is in a minute, and I'll tell you what mine is. But each of us has got to nominate a number between 1 and 50. Okay, that is our target number. The objective of the game is to list 3 of the squad stats listed on that Wikipedia page that add up closest to that number. Right, so the stats can be appearances, league, cup or total, goals, league, cup or total, yellow cards, red cards or squad number. Right, so they've all got to add up. So if I would say 5... you'd have to find some that did 2, 2, 1. Okay? The player that gets closest to the nominated number wins. You can't go over. You lose if you go over. It's like blackjack in very many ways, except for the fact you don't have to get to 21. You have to get to exactly the number that I say. Right.
Okay.
First of all, I will tell you your nominated season. It's 2010-2011. Which season have I got?
You have got Big Sam's last season, 2006-2007.
Okay, right, okay. So, your number you've got to get to is 33. What's my number?
Yours is 12.
12, oh, right. That's low.
I'm getting you back. I'm getting you back here.
That's not great. Right, okay. Right, okay. I'm going to go for 2006-2007. I've got to get to 12. So, let's think. Right, so we know that... Oh, God, how am I going to get to 12? Well, we know that Jussi Askelainen has scored 0 goals. I'm going to try and minimise it. He's scored 0 goals in the season. That has got to be right.
It is.
I'm assuming, let me think, 12, 2006-07. Who scored in 2006-07? I think it was that the season where everybody shared about 8 goals apiece? I'm going to go for Gary Speed's squad number, which was 6.
It was.
Great, so I'm on 6. Right, so then how close, what, 6? And then I'm going to go for Gary Speed's goals in the season, just to be safe. His goals in the season, I think he scored about 6.
Well, that season, according to Wikipedia, Gary Speed actually didn't score any goals.
Right, well, that does surprise me. However, I am still alive. I'm 6 off the total. So you've got to do exactly the same. So you're looking for 33 from the 2010-11 season, which is the year, of course, they did that FA Cup semi-final thing.
Right, then. I'm going to go with... I'm going to get 33. So I'm going to go with Johan Elmander's goals, which I...
Is that total goals?
Total goals,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
How many is that?
Well, I mean, I can't really tell you.
I can't really tell
you what you got. I mean, I'll tell you just to give you a little hint. He scored 12 in total, so we'll give you that.
12. Yeah. Right, okay. So I need 21. Did you say 33?
Yes, I did, yes. You need 21.
Yeah, 21. Right, okay. I'm going to go with Stuart Holden's shirt number, which was 8.
That's an extra 8, so you're on 20. So you need to find 13 from your final guess.
And I'm going to go with...
Or you can play it safe, I suppose. I mean, I don't want to give away your tactics here, but you can certainly get closer than me.
Yeah, I'm going to play it safe. And it's not exact on the nose, but I'm going to say Kevin Davis's shirt number, which is obviously going to get me 1 over the target, because it was 14.
Lest I remind you that you are not allowed to bust...
Oh, right, okay, right.
So I'll allow you to reverse that decision, only because we're learning the game.
Right, okay, so I need 13 or less.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with... Oh, what would get me 13 from that team? Or less. I'm going to go with the amount of games that Daniel Sturridge played for us.
Oh, that is a brilliant shout. I have to say, 12.
Oh,
that is very... I tip my cap to you there. You pulled an ace out right at the end there. So you ended up with 32 in total. You win that one. I like that game. I quite like it. Now I know how to play it. I'll ruminate with that one. It's a bit like blackjack, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And to be fair... That's probably, if anyone's still wondering what on earth we've just done, just think blackjack, but we choose the number instead of 21.
Yeah, yeah. And instead of cards, you have random stats on a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think there's anybody out there that could tell you that Paul Robinson got 10 yellow cards in that season?
I don't. I'm just looking at mine, and it's funny when you look at some of the stats, like... This season I'm talking about, Big Sam's last season, Ivan Campo got more yellow cards than Kevin Davis.
That is incredible. Incredible. Mm. And also, if you don't want to just kill things off there, you could have done a flat Rob Layton. He was number 13, and it would have just got you straight in there. Would have been no problem whatsoever.
Well, I think there's only Rob Layton, maybe his mum and dad, who would know that that was that fact.
But, I think other than that, I think that's the only stat on here that you could have got 13. So you picked the second best stat out of that whole lot. That's a good effort, I have to say. I'd tip my cap to you if I was wearing one. But I'm indoors, so I'm not going to bother.
You could have had, for 12, you could have had Nicholas Anelka's goals that season. The famous 12.
I mean, I have to say that I am at a disadvantage with this game, is that I have terrible memory for that sort of stuff. I'm very much story-based. My memories are very much story-based. I can tell you, you know, what I did going to games 20 years ago, what I ate, you know, what the interviews were like afterwards, the colour aspects, but the actual raw statistical stuff, no, I'm rubbish. So you may have one up on me on that front. But right, let's move on past these frivolous games and assess what comes next. It's Wycombe Wanderers away, and then beyond that, Doncaster Rovers, and they finally get a chance to come to Bolton, by the way, so we'll have a chat about that as well. Wycombe, how much pressure is now riding on this game after Wednesday night?
Yeah, very much so. If we get stuffed on Saturday, then it's not looking good. And when I say not looking good, it's a strange one, really, because it's not like we're in a relegation battle. It's not like, I know a few people, maybe as an emotional response to last night, suggested that Ian Everett could be under pressure. I don't for one minute think he is. So when I say it's not good, I don't think there'll be any change. Are we not struggling? It just rounds off a pretty bad week, really.
Yeah.
Plymouth aside, I think when we've gone to teams at the top of the table, we've done okay this year. We've put in good performances, and actually, the defeats we've had, we've been quite unlucky, I felt. But it'll be a tough game. But I'm saying that Wycombe have had a bad week. They lost against Portsmouth last weekend and Hartlepool in the cup. So you know, it's not like they're great in form either.
No. I mean, I'm very wary about saying this is a good time to play Wycombe, because it seems to be always a great time to score against Bolton. So, but they can't possibly play as badly. One thing that does worry me, obviously, you've got Sheehan out, theoretically, if his knee is as bad as it looked last night. Yeah. You've got Kieran Lee, who wasn't supposed to be playing last night, but has ended up playing 120 minutes. And I use the word playing very loosely there. Because he didn't have a great game. You've got MJ Williams, who was ill enough to pull out of the squad, but is he going to be fit? Is he going to be, you know, pushed into playing again at the weekend, maybe when he's not 100%, which isn't easy. You've got Doyle all of a sudden, who's had an injection in his calf now, by the way. It's amazing how fast it switches, because we were talking about having lots of options on Monday, for crying out loud. Yeah. And now all of a sudden you're looking at the squad and there's barely any options. And you on the bench, there was nothing to change it the other night. You know, Amici's still kind of feeling his way. Delfonso has really just done nothing at all. So it's very difficult to shake things up and say, right, well, we're going to, you know, we'll name people ahead of you. You played terribly on Wednesday, so no, I'm going to pick X, Y, and Z. You can hardly chuck, you know, Matt Tweedley or you know, Mitchell Henry or the kids in there, can you?
No, we've done that before against Wycombe, and we didn't.
No, I mean, look, I mean, I got asked by the journalist down there what's changed since the last time you were at Wycombe, and I could have talked for about 2 or 3 hours on what has changed since the last time we were at Wycombe, but really, there was no pressure on anybody at that time because it was so manic off the pitch. It's a complete reverse this time, isn't it? It's very stable off the pitch, but actually there's a lot of pressure, not only on the players, but a few people, and I know people are angry and etc., but a few people have suggested this pressure on Ian Everett himself, that he's got to arrest this slide, and it can't be so gung-ho. It can't be that we're simply going to outscore the opposition all the time, because I think there's got to be more structure than that. There's better teams in this division than Bolton Wanderers, in my opinion. I know Ian Everett believes on their day that they're the best team in the division. I just think that there's no logical way you can actually say that, you know, there's stronger squads. There's squads that have had more money spent on them. That's the way football works, sadly. It's an economic game at the heart of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of a first 11, I can kind of understand where he's coming from with it, because I genuinely think we have our players. I don't think we've got bad players. I think we've got good players. But yeah, as a squad, you look at, you know, you look at especially the last month or two, he brings on three subs, and then I don't know. Can you see any other players? Like, if you're not looking at the bench, going, we've got four or five players we could bring on. You're thinking, well, we've got two, and then maybe him. So yeah, the squad does need addressing, and I think that's where you look at Wickham. And okay, again, we seem to say it all the time. You know, as a football club, we are far bigger than Wickham, but in where they are at the moment, having just come down from the Championship, they will have a better squad than us. And you know, this proves it when we've got injuries and we're struggling to fill spaces.
Yeah, I think it is a shallow squad, and we said, you know, there's been warning signs all the way through, hasn't there? That one injury. I mean, God forbid if MJ Williams were to get an injury, and this be the case for the next, you know, we've got 6 weeks just over until the transfer window reopens. I mean, I was half joking there about pushing him ahead of schedule if he's been poorly, and I hope that isn't my sort of poorly, the way you're going to be ruled out for X number of games. You know, God forbid he was out for any length of time and that you were forced to play over Christmas with that, because actually that they'd have to change something. I don't know what you'd do in that eventuality. But I think the squad is a fragile one, and that comes from the fact that they've built it on a budget which is sustainable, which is the budget they want, and that is, you know, very worthy. I understand that, but you also have to understand that there are players, that there are squads out there that are much, much deeper and much stronger. And that's what happens at this time of year. You get pick up injuries, and those sort of squads come good. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, I think you've got to remember as well that, you know, I think we're not harping on anymore about what happened 2 years ago with the administration, but we had to build a squad from scratch. And I think part of that is it takes years to then get a decent sized and a decent quality squad, because we brought in 20 players last year, but then you get to the next season and suddenly you've got to take 6, 7, 8, like 10 of those out because you're moving up the league. So then you're bringing in more players, and then, you know, it's a balancing act. And I think it won't be until, you know, we always said this year that you always have aspirations of going up, but realistically, we're aiming for mediocrity, and that's what we're probably going to get. I don't think we're going to be anywhere near relegation. We just want to consolidate in this league. Mm. And then next year, we've already now got a squad. I don't know how many off the top of my head, but I'd imagine it's enough to put a team out next year with players who are contracted to us. So then you think, right, okay, well, we've already got that base. What do we, you know, then you're making less changes and then going into next year. And then the year after, you'll make less changes or need to. So, yeah, it just takes a while to build a squad. And this is where teams around us, like Wickham, have had that time, and they've done that, and they've built it over, you know, over a few years, because you, even if a new manager comes in, it can take them with a big squad of 24 to get a, you know, their squad. So to start from scratch is going to take time, but we will get there. And it's just unfortunately that you have these teething issues at the moment. But I think the main thing for me is, and like the manager said, you can take not having quality in the squad, you can take having a squad down to bare bones, but if they're not putting in any effort like they did on Wednesday, then you're never going to win anything.
No, I think you talk a lot of sense there, Henry, I do agree with a lot what you say there. I mean, I don't want to be that guy that points up the road to Wigan and say, well, they've built a squad from zero this season and they're up where they are. I hope and I'll say this on record, I hope they're nowhere near it come the end of the season. But it is possible. It is possible. I don't know. I think it's difficult to take at the minute. You can understand all the anger that's around because it was embarrassing and it was a national embarrassment on Wednesday. And there seem to be a few occasions this season where they don't do anything by halves, do they? To be up 1 minute and down the next, it's a very difficult time to be a Bolton fan.
It isn't. It isn't because I think when the style of play, when it's going well, it's some of the best football I've seen us play at Bolton. So yeah, that's enjoyable.
And I agree I agree with that. And certainly it's some of the best that I've seen covering the club as well.
But then when it isn't working and we can't, you know, it's as if we're giving every team we play a 1 or 2 goal head start. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I know maybe the manager will point to Friday and say, well, we kept a clean sheet, but crew were awful. I've never seen Bolton fans as universally agreed on any subjects other than that crew were the worst team we've played in years.
I don't know. You didn't see them with me giving Ricardo Santos an 8 on Wednesday night. I think most people were universally agreed that it wasn't.
Well, we've had two things that everyone enjoys, agrees on in 1 week. But yeah, crew were off, and they could have scored at the end. But other than that, they didn't really they've got problems. They've got problems, and they're probably going to go down. But other than that, you're looking at what Burton and Lincoln, the only two clean sheets we've had in the league this year. It's and Burton didn't offer much either, so that needs addressing. And okay, maybe you are sacrificing the style of play, and you are sacrificing being on the front foot all the time and all the possessions. But at this moment in time, I would rather us draw 0-0 than draw 4-4. And as an entertainment thing, that might not be the right thing to say, but it just, you've got to build something if you're going to be successful from the back.
Well, that's it. It's kind of those baby steps. It's I just fear that this constant swing from brilliant to awful is going to, in the long term, erode confidence in the manager, from the fans, on the players, and you know it. I don't know. It's fit to burst. If you know what I mean, somewhere down the line, it will explode.
Mm.
But I hope I'm wrong. I hope they go and carve out a brilliant 1-0 win at Wickham. I'm not going to suggest that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be a high scoring draw. I'm going to go 2-2. What about you?
Asking me the day after what happened last night, I'm going to say we'll get beat. But asking me to try and be positive on a Bolton Wanderers podcast, I'll say I think they'll put in a performance and turn it round. I think it'll be 2-1.
I hope so. I really hope so. I'm going to ask you for a Donny one as well, because I mean, first of all, do you think Donny will turn up? Because it would be the greatest murk of all time if they just didn't bother.
Yeah, well, they're in a situation where they probably don't want to turn up to many games at the moment, actually. I know that you've had some banter with a Doncaster journalist, so yeah, for you to be suddenly conveniently COVID-ridden, then, you know, so you don't have to go. But I think, yeah, there'll be banter before the game, and yeah, it's obviously, from our side anyway, it's water under the bridge. I'm sure it's for Doncaster, but there will be banter before the game. But it is another big game. We've got Cheltenham after that. We've got three home games coming up with the two, Doncaster and Cheltenham, and then the cup game against Fleetwood, that now a must win. You know, if we're going to do anything this year, we wanted a cup run, and that's our only option now. I think we will win. I think I don't think it'd be as straightforward as crew. I think we'll get the 2-1 inevitably. It'll be like the Shrewsbury game, I think, where we'll go 2-0 up and then they'll score late on and suddenly it'll be back to the wall.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I do fancy him against Donny. I'm gutted to be missing out on that game, but I will be back for the Mark Isles derby against Cheltenham. I'll be fit and firing for that one. I wouldn't miss that one for the world. I'd drag myself out of a sick bed for that one. It's going to be an interesting week. And as you say, it can all be forgotten with a couple of results. You know, you win a couple of games and everybody forgets about it. And it, you know, it's a different world when you're winning games. Such a strange sport, football. But I think we've said enough. I think we've covered every single base, Henry. And, well, I haven't got a limerick because I forgot to pick one out. So I'm just going to have to sign off in an old-fashioned way. So, I mean, until next week, I've been Mark Isles.
And I've been Henry Hewitt.
See you, farewell, Mario Jardel. That one seems fitting.